Don't you enjoy this time of year as the temperatures change from high heat to pleasant temperatures that make you want to do everything outside, including refinishing? Well, we are in the slightly cooler month of September 2020 now, and we recently announced the winners of the August Zebra Review contest themed Summer Sunsets. Today, we get to talk with those winners to learn a little more about their award-winning pieces. We're also going to hear from a well-known refinisher in our refinishing tip on the subject of pricing. Thanks for joining us on Zebras Before and After. I'm your host, Lane Ball. Before we get to our show, we want to thank the judges and sponsors of the Zebra Review August contest. Our judges are Katie with Katie & Company Furniture Restorations, Lauren with Portland Rose Studio, Keegan with Lemon Drops Reclaimed, and Natalie with Array of Sunlight. You guys have to review all the beautiful pieces, and there are many, and make the tough decisions, so we appreciate your hard work. We also want to thank our prize sponsors, really terrific group of companies and wonderful prizes, Mud Paint, D. Lawless Hardware, Surf Prep Sanding, and of course, Zebra Paintbrushes. Listeners, if you are able to check out these pieces while you listen to the podcast, they are featured on our podcast page for you to enjoy. Just go to thezebrablog.com and click on the podcast. You can also check out our new YouTube channel, Enjoy Zebra, where you can listen to this podcast while viewing all applicable work we discuss. By the way, please subscribe to our channel as we have some exciting new videos coming up as well that we know you will enjoy. Okay, let's learn and be inspired as we talk to the winners. We have Joe with Click to Restore winning first place, Shelly with Fox and Bear Revival taking second place, and Yari with Lily Moon Vintage scoring third. Congratulations to all three of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Well, when you talk about sunsets, you certainly can't say that they aren't inspirational, and summer sunsets are hard to beat. On top of that, each sunset is different, so we definitely had lots of inspiration for this contest. Before we get into your pieces, we want to find out where each of you live and, of course, the weather. Joe, you live in the big state of Texas, north of Dallas, I believe?
Yeah.
So what's your weather like today, Joe?
It's starting to get cooler, but Texas weather is very unpredictable. One day it will be really hot in hundreds, and other day it will just drop down in 40s and 50s. So yes, it's very unpredictable here.
So when you say cooler, give me an idea of what cooler is for you temp-wise.
Oh my gosh, I can, because I came from New York, so the cooler will be minus for me. But here, I think in 50s and 60s, I start feeling like, oh my gosh, you know, the weather is like good. So right now it's like we are having rains here, we are getting into fall. But you know, the fall in north and south is very different.
Yeah, you're right. Now, do you guys have, what is your fall like, and is it a lengthy fall or is it pretty short?
Yeah, it is a very short period. So right now, it's like last year, we didn't see fall. It was just from summers, mm-hmm. We went into winters. But this year, we are assuming we are going to see fall because the weather is, you know, transitioning from hot mm-hmm. to it's getting like a bit cooler before we enter into winters. But I mean, the fall look on the trees and surroundings that you see up in north, I mean, that we don't get to see as much here in Texas.
You know, it's funny because hearing you describe it in Texas really sounds a lot like the way fall is in North Carolina, because in many years in the past, it just seems like fall is so short. And a lot of people say, man, we didn't get much of a fall this year because it goes from summer to winter. And that's unfortunate because, you know, we obviously have a lot of trees here in North Carolina, and you know, however, you know, the weather has to be for the leaves to be beautiful. I don't know. We just haven't hit that a lot lately. But, you know, it just seems like it's just so short. And especially with the temperatures, too. Now, right now, we are like upper 60s, low 70s. At night, it's gotten down into the 40s, which is pretty nippy for us. Because I mean, we've had a really warm summer. And that sounds like we share a lot in common weather-wise. Now, how's your business been, Joe?
It's been great.
You haven't had any slowdown or anything with the pandemic?
By God's grace, no. Because I always say that I do mainly commissions. So, which are booked out for like 5 to 6 months in advance. Mm-hmm. So that's why I didn't see much of an effect on pandemic. But the thing is, it's just the other way around. God has been kind. I've been getting a lot of work.
Oh, that's so good to hear. Well, your feed is busy, and I have to say, everybody's got to go check out this peacock piece that you just posted. I mean, that is really beautiful. You did, I mean, looks like you did a lot of work, and you probably have a tutorial on it as well.
Yeah, but not a full tutorial, but it's just like behind the scenes of what I am doing. Uh-huh. Just that. I come from India, so the national bird of India is peacock. So I've seen, you know, them, like, I ran behind them just picking up those feathers, and it has, like, a beautiful memory, my childhood memory with peacocks.
Yeah.
And I've done a few pieces with peacocks, but this one, yeah, it's a bit different.
Yeah, well, listeners, make sure you check out Joe's feed because it really is beautiful.
Thank you.
Well, before we get to the weather and where Shelly lives, we have to say congratulations as Shelly is going to have a baby. How exciting, Shelly.
Oh, congrats. Wow,
congratulations.
Now, Shelly, is this your first?
It is my first, or our first, I guess I should say.
Yeah.
Sort of 6 more weeks to go due the end of October. So I'm pretty excited and I guess nervous at the same point or same time.
Yeah. It's such a mix of emotion, isn't it? I mean, I recall back when my wife and I had our son almost 18 years ago. Wow. Anyway, it's so exciting. And then, like you said, there's a bit of like anxiousness about it just because, especially for your first, but we'll pray it all goes well. Now, are you trying to like catch up on pieces? Do you have commissioned pieces that you're trying to finish up?
We sort of used to do kind of about 50-50, and we, over the past, I don't know, maybe 4 months or so, we started turning down projects just because it just hasn't been as easy to paint anything, to be honest. We've sort of slowed down and started doing some stuff in the house just to get the house ready for the baby. And it just hasn't been as easy. And I didn't want to set commitments and, you know, for myself or tell people that I'd have pieces available for them or ready by this time and then not be able to commit.
Yeah.
So right now it's been cleaning out inventory and just doing projects here and there.
Well, it sounds like you have wise planning going on there, so that's great. Now, you live pretty far north in Manitoba, Canada?
Yeah, just, I guess, west of Winnipeg.
Okay.
In a small town. We've seen frost already in the mornings, this week actually is supposed to be nice, so hopefully we get a little bit of a longer fall this year. The past 2 years have not been that nice.
Now you said Winnipeg, so that's just above North Dakota, correct?
Correct, yes.
Yeah. So what is your, well, you're, I'm probably going to trip myself up on this, but you are not Fahrenheit, you're Celsius, so your numbers are going to be different. We've joked about this on the podcast before, and usually I have a translator ready, but I don't have one ready, so... So you're really cold. Like, what's your average temperature right now? I mean, for this time, is it colder than normal?
So right now we're kind of in the 22 range, which is actually quite nice. It's kind of overcast and windy today, but we're supposed to get quite warm this week. But this morning was 4. So our temperatures kind of fluctuate to dip almost close to freezing, I guess, in the morning. So
yeah.
It's a little bit crisp, but... that's to be expected this time of the year.
All in all, it sounds like for the most part, we're all so far having pretty good weather. Yari, you are in Tennessee?
I am.
What part?
So I'm right outside of Knoxville, about 10 minutes from Knoxville, in a little town called Oak Ridge.
Okay, so you're not too far from North Carolina. We're adjacent to one another, so you're probably having similar weather than that we are having.
I am, yeah, and I just flew in from Florida, and it's like day and night. Yeah, we got off the plane, and it was nice, crisp weather, beautiful in the 50s. I think now it's probably like low 70s, but it's beautiful weather. I love the weather here.
I know. It is nice, especially this time now. Was it pretty warm down in Florida?
Oh, definitely. It was like high 80s, almost 90s, and
oh my
muggy.
Goodness. Yeah, that made you appreciate home when you stepped off that plane, didn't it?
100%.
Well, you have a really cool ombre effect piece that you posted. Folks will have to go check that out. Was that a difficult piece to accomplish?
I have to say, I don't do ombre very often. I don't do a lot of the blending, but I do love to do it. but it's tiring sometimes, especially when you have to do multiple coats. Yeah. I know I struggled. My arm was hurting after a while. I had to take a couple breaks. I was very proud of that piece. It's for a little girl. She's 10 years old, and I think she's going to love it once she sees it in person.
Yeah. Well, as you should be proud about it, because it's a great achievement, and folks will have to go check it out for sure. Well, let's get to your winning pieces. Yari, you won third place and you went with a beautiful solid yellow, actually a yellow I think you mixed. I think you mentioned that on your Instagram account. Really yes. Stunning color. Why don't you tell us about it?
So the inspiration for that piece, when I picked it up, it was more of a modern, sleek look. And I'm starting to kind of shift over into a little bit more modern lately, which I'm loving. But I picked it up. I had no idea what I was going to do to it just yet. I knew I wanted to go bold. And I saw some liners from a company that sells like beautiful, like wrapping paper and things like that. And I thought, once I saw that color on the liners, I knew that that's the color. I was going to grab that color from the liners to put on that piece. I had no idea because the paint company that I was using doesn't make the color that I saw on the paper. So I'm really huge on mixing making my own recipes and stuff like that. So I just got a couple colors, mixed them up, found a match to, match the liners, and I went for it. And I was a little scared to go for it because yellow is, not everybody's cup of tea. But I love the way it came out. So
yeah, and the knobs, the hardware that you chose, now was that the original hardware?
No, so that piece had like three different kinds of hardware, which was very odd to me. So yeah, I wanted to go, just modernize it a little bit. So we went with matte black, just very sleek, kind of like knobs, I guess. But I think it did the piece justice with the whole mid-century vibe.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing how you can like design a piece like this, and when you get to the knobs, sometimes it's probably easy to think, because you've put so much work into the painting process that I'm sure it's rewarding in many respects when you get to the hardware, but it's just always amazing how the hardware can have such a sort of an exclamation at the end of a sentence type thing. Yes. When it comes to your furniture pieces, and it can change it dramatically. It can just absolutely complete it. And I love like what you said about, the yellow is such a strong color, and then the black matte knobs, just the hardware, it really completes it nicely.
Right. It just kind of made the whole look come together nicely.
Yeah. Now, have you sold this piece?
I did. I sold it, I want to say either early last week or the week before. Yeah, I sold that one locally.
Yeah. Wow. That's great. Well, Yara, you definitely chose the right color for this MCM. Congratulations on winning third. Share your Instagram account for our listeners.
So you guys can find me at Lily Moon Vintage, and Lily is with two L's. And I'm constantly posting all of my bold pieces.
Great. That's great, Yara. We appreciate it. Well, Shelley took second place with her storage cabinet. This piece has a sort of Art Deco feel to it, and you created an actual sunset on this piece. So give us the details, Shelley.
So we were looking for a piece. It's actually, we kept this piece. We were looking for a piece to replace a larger cabinet in our basement. And it's actually being used to store all our paints. And we found this on Marketplace, and it was just plain. Maybe it was white to begin with, but it was kind of just, a dingy white. So we thought we'd freshen it up first with a coat of white paint. And then that was kind of boring. So we thought, with the theme being sunsets, as it wasn't going to go kind of in a, it was going to go in our sort of storage room. Not that I don't want anybody to see it, but it was just something that with the colors, it just wouldn't go with our decor upstairs. So we thought this would be a fun place to add some color. And we searched the internet for just sunsets and came across this print by Color Poems on, I think it was Society 6 or something. So you can get art prints from there. And we kind of took our own changed the colors up a bit and extended the blue portion of it to make it fit better with the cabinet, and got out some mixing bowls, and that's how we made the circles, and some painter's tape, of course, and blended some colors together to make just a little bit more, the colors a bit more subtle and soft, and then framed it out so it kind of looked like a print on the cabinet, but it's actually painted.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. So you had painted it on, and then, as you said, you just put a frame around it.
Yeah, we thought it just needed something. Well, it sort of hides the edges, maybe not being quite perfect. So it has a dual purpose, but it also just adds a bit more to the cabinet. The cabinet's quite plain, so we did add the base, widen that out a bit. The top already was extended, so it just sort of made the cabinet look a little bit more substantial, I suppose, and just finished the look off a bit better than just leaving it flat.
Now, tell me about the hardware, because it looks like there's two pulls on there. Are they both functional?
They are both functional. It's actually, one is a door, and it has shelves inside, and the other one is a mm-hmm. pull-out cabinet. So it'd be like used in a kitchen. Maybe you'd have spices and stuff in there, but it's kind of, one pulls out, the other one's cabinets with shelves.
Yeah, it works so well with the design. Sometimes you wonder, is the hardware there just for design, or is it there as a functional piece? But it's neat the way it ties in really well.
Yeah, and generally this hardware came with the piece. But normally, sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't keep the hardware. So we chose to keep the hardware on this piece, but just sort of blends in. A little bit. We didn't want it to stand out too much.
Well, my goodness, Shelley. I mean, this is an award-winning piece now, and are you going to keep it downstairs?
For now, it's going to be ours. So it has a home downstairs. if we, that's more so because we were trying to conserve space and make room for other things, but should we, over the next year, we'll see how that goes, and we might be expanding. So for now, it's ours.
Isn't it exciting that you can take something as simple as just a very basic cabinet, and I mean, look what you did with it. I mean, it's really a lot of fun to be able to take it from something that's really rather boring and make it exciting and beautiful. Well, this piece is so unique, Shelley. Congratulations. And if you would share your Instagram account with our listeners.
It's Fox and Bear Revival.
Very good. Well, Joe won first place. This is a small piece, but you did not go small on the design. You really created a beautiful nightstand end table by using the ombre effect and doing some decoupage. So share the details with us, Joe.
Thank you so much. Well, this piece is more about what my principles and my morals are. I mean, as a child, I've always been taught not to, be depressed about things, because after every night there is a day. So that's how I started. It's all dark and aubergine on the base, and how it's just rising up and going into beautiful pinks on the top and yellows. And then on the top I decided to use a decoupage, and that's the flower, and that's how you should look at the life. So that is what I'm trying to show on that piece.
Wow. Well, you did a good job of accomplishing that. Now, is there stencil as well on this piece, or what is that? Is that also decoupage toward just above the base?
Above the base, I used stencils, and I tried to pull in the inspiration from one of my Indian saris that I had, and it's aubergine with gold details on it. So I just felt that if I add the gold details, it will look pretty and not really dingy and dark there. So that's how I just added the details on stencil on the side, and the top is flower, but on the side trim, again, I've added a lot of gold and wax there.
Mm-hmm. Now, Yari mentioned earlier about doing the ombre effect. Do you enjoy doing the ombre?
I don't enjoy it, and I don't dislike it. It's just like I said, I design each of my piece, and I want to create everything. So my feed has to be like, an artist who is an artist and mm-hmm. who creates everything, and not just a specific one style or something. So I want to open it to all kind of clientele that come to me, and I can create anything and everything. So, I mean, mm-hmm. I enjoyed working on this because it's relate to me and my morals, but mm-hmm. I mean, it's fun to create something different.
Yeah, yeah. Well, did you sell this piece or are you keeping it for yourself?
Oh, no, I mean, I'm the only girl in my house, so I have to keep it for myself. So that's not a possibility. And my boys would not like the pink and the purple piece. So I have to sell it, but I've enlisted it. So, I mean, I will be eventually listing it out on my shop. So, yeah, but I want to wait it for the right buyer to come and take that.
Come on, Joe, don't you have a corner of a place in the house where you could put this for yourself?
What do you think when there is a one female in the house? She'll tell me. There are so many things. My husband has compromised on a lot. I don't want to, you know, put this piece right there and say, hey.
Well, somebody's going to enjoy this piece, and I know that will be rewarding for you as well. So that's exciting.
Yes, I hope it can bring joy and light to whoever house this goes to.
Well, congratulations on winning first place, Joe. And it was cool to hear all the different effects that you put into this piece and the work and the meaning behind it. So we appreciate that. Share your Instagram account with our listeners.
Guys, you can find me on Click to Restore, and that too is the number 2.
This podcast is sponsored by Zebra, makers of the high-end yet affordable line of application-specific paintbrushes. Zebra's new website is up at enjoyzebra.com, and we invite you to take it for a test drive. Test drive, because it's more than an ordinary product website. There is plenty of inspiration for you, as well as a really cool quiz that guides you to the ideal Zebra paintbrush you need for your painting application. You can peruse the products that range from our paintbrushes, of course, to our latest apron designs, to our new paintbrush kit offerings. That, I might add, come in a really unique canvas bag, and any purchase over $35 or more means free shipping for those living in the United States. Well, it's time for our Zebra panel discussion. We like to leave the panel discussion topic to our winners, and when we asked the August winners what they would enjoy discussing, Joe threw out the idea furniture refinishing is more than just painting, it's designing furniture. When I saw that, I thought, this is so true, and we always talk about refinishing as an art form, but I really like calling it furniture design as well. All three of our winners are experienced refinishers, so we'll be eager to hear you guys discuss this topic. You know, imagine sitting at a bistro table outside on a beautiful sunny day, a bit of a cool breeze, birds singing, drinking your favorite coffee or cup of tea. Now you get to enjoy your panel discussion. FYI, real quick here, I may jump in now and then to throw out my own comments. But either way, you guys have a good time talking. Have some fun.
I mean, for me, whenever I pick a piece of furniture, I let it sit for as long as I can. I don't rush in painting a piece. So I want to just give it a thought, you know, what colors I'm going to put on that, what hardware, what stencil, what details, what liner, everything has to be like, you know, color coordinated and properly thought about. And then I do that. Even for my commissions, I mean, I just, my clients just don't say that, hey, paint just white and I want that. From the time we consult till the time it's painted, we go through a number of discussions, picking up the colors, the stencils design, and sometimes I have redone them because the design is too modern for that kind of piece. So a lot goes into it before a piece is completely finished to stage and it's out on the feet. So I feel that it's not about just, you know, picking up the brush and start to paint. It happens, but not all the time. Majority of the time, I think it's the design, it's the style we are looking for that clicks to us. And that's what I think I try to do.
Yeah, and I do agree with Joe. And I feel like lately I've been a little bit more focused on the design aspect of my furniture versus before I just kind of went with whatever fun color I thought would look nice on a piece. Now, like Joe, I kind of just let it sit for a couple days. I kind of think about it. And I have a whole like Pinterest board of inspiration and from nature to just, you know, other artists. And I do have to say that inspiration just comes from anything and everything. I've been inspired by a leaf that I have found on the floor. I've been inspired by wrapping paper that I have found at the store. Mm-hmm. So inspiration does come from so many different places, even other artists to work, and I do get so inspired by everybody that I follow on Instagram and people that I see on Pinterest and things like that. But I come from an interior design background, and I feel like I've been able to kind of connect that a lot more lately into my furniture. So now I'm just kind of focusing on, you know, more of a mood or a vibe for my furniture. I look for really pretty liners that I would like to add inside. If I'm going for like the latest ombre piece that I did, I wanted to give it more of like a bohemian Moroccan vibe. And even though my customer did choose the colors on that recent piece, I gave it a little bit of my own spin on it. So I think that, you know, our furniture artists out there, there's just so many different ways to get inspired, and just to put their own design aspect into their furniture.
I would say for me, for lots of times I have people come to me and say, I'd like this painted white, or I'd like this painted black, or they want to, I've done quite a few kitchen tables and chair sets and stuff, and they say, they'll send me a picture and say, can you do this? Or refinish it like this. And then you sort of get into the details of, well, where is the, for a kitchen, obviously their dining table is going in their dining room, but you start asking them questions about their wall color, their floor color, and or different style of their house. Like when somebody says you want something painted white, well, there's lots of different colors of white, and you kind of want to get a feel for their space so you can add those kind of special touches with, whether it be the drawer liners or changing up the hardware. I haven't done a lot of blending or any really bold, bright colors, but I have, you know, done some stuff with waxes and stuff, but it's not everybody's thing, I guess. And I guess just in our marketplace here, people tend to like what they see, or they want you to recreate something that you've kind of already created, which is nice. It's not, you can't use your imagination or put, you know, put things out there quite like you would all the time, but you try to make the customers happy, but you don't want to just give them a white dresser or a white cabinet. You want to make add those special touches so that, you know, it's special and unique to them.
Yeah, and I have to say that I agree with that as well, because for my customers, especially when I'm doing custom work, I like to go to their homes and do an in-home consult with color samples. And it happened to me recently where they knew exactly what colors they wanted based off of a picture that they saw, but when we got to their home, it was totally different because the lighting in their home was different. So it looked a lot deeper. It didn't go with the walls, you know, the color on the walls. So it does have, you know, a lot of design to it, you know, just kind of working individually with the customer on a little bit of a more personal level and helping them design the piece according to the rest of their home and the mood that they have in their home. You don't want to give a customer a modern piece that's going to go in maybe their farmhouse decor and things like that. So when you go to their home, you kind of help them kind of decipher a little bit of what it is exactly that they want, because they might think they want something, but then when you get there with color samples and just like all the design ideas, you know, it's just totally different. So
yeah, it's nice to help the process along. It's not trying to persuade them one way or another. You just kind of, you know, you don't want to give them a product they're not going to be happy with. And sometimes exactly. in your head, you think, well, you may be saying that you like this or want something, but you know, let's maybe discuss how we could make it fit into your home, maybe a little bit better.
Exactly.
Now, Yori, you talk about this in-home console. That is like an excellent idea. Do you charge for that, or is that just built into the commission fee that you end up charging for the piece?
Yeah, I do have it built in into their commission fee. You know, basically, I let them know exactly the what the process is going to be. You know, I'm going to go to your home. I'm going to take a look at their piece, because sometimes it's more they own the piece already and they want me to refinish it for them. Mm-hmm. The customer that I'm working on right now, she pretty much refurnishing her entire home. So we have different ideas going on for different rooms. And when I first spoke with her, I told her, you know what, let me go to your home if that's okay with you. Show me exactly what your needs are, and then we'll start finding pieces for you. And then that's also an additional fee when you're kind of sourcing pieces for a customer. Mm-hmm. So based on, you know, the spacing and, you know, their layout of their home, you know, I go out and find a piece that's going to be just right for them. So, and then once we do that, I go back, we choose colors and things like that.
Wow. You really are incorporating your interior design background. That's excellent.
Yeah, definitely.
Joe, Shelley, do you also do any in-home consults?
Yeah, I do in-home consultations. I do consultations on FaceTime if they are out of state, and we are picking colors for them from, and like they are like recently, like two of my clients, they have shipped fabric, just a tiny bit of sample from Etsy, just to pick the right colors for their home because they are building new homes. So from Ballard Design, it's out for delivery and it will be here anytime. So that's how we just sit and pick colors. And it takes a lot of time when you are doing a commission piece for your clients. And, you know, they are coming to you as that you are an expert. So they're trusting what you are telling them is going to work in their home. And I just, you know, appreciate that belief in them. And I want to keep them intact. I like to keep my clients with me. And I really go out of the way to work with them. And I think they appreciate that fact as well. So it has been an amazing experience. And I feel as an attorney, I've been able to incorporate that, you know, customer-client relationship in my business. And it just works out so fine. And I feel so satisfied that I'm not just, you know, just painting now anymore. I'm actually designing those pieces to my specific clients. And I feel right now, you know, there are so many artists out there, beautiful, like, creators. So everyone is trying to be unique in their styles, but still different. And if you see anyone's feed right now, it just looks, you know, they are really designing their piece. They're just not painting just one color. I mean, we are painting one color, but still there is some designing going on behind them.
Yeah, and then there's the staging. I think the staging is really important as well, you know, for not only for yourself as a, you know, as a furniture painter, for your portfolio, because I do focus on that a lot for my feed. I like to kind of stick to a certain look or whatnot, but then you also want to bring in elements to your staging and, you know, to your piece that is inviting and where customers can feel like it'll fit in their home, and, you know, they can just, you know, just picture it in their home. And I think that that takes a lot of, you know, it's a lot of a thought process behind that as well.
Yeah, it's very important the way we stage our piece. I mean, our followers and our clients are able to, you know, vision that piece into their home. That's why I really am not a very big fan of Photoshop. I try to keep them as real, just taking pictures with my iPhone in my dining room. That's converted into my staging and painting room now. So that's where I take my pictures, and there's a lot of sunlight falling right into the room, and there are fixed hours that I have to take pictures during those hours, else I won't. It moves to the next day. So it's very important to keep everything real, and, you know, just everyone can see what's going on the piece.
You know, we've heard several people talk about when it comes to staging that they've had some customers say, hey, would you sell the staging props that I'm going to buy? Will that go with the furniture piece? Have you guys had that happen?
Yeah, many times.
So it's sort of like a package deal, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, I just, I did an entire dining room set for a customer, and it was out of town, so it required me to travel. And of course, you know, that was incorporated into their fee. They paid for everything. But of course, since I'm not in my home and where I stage everything, you know, I had to kind of work with whatever they had, which wasn't really much what that would go with the piece itself. So of course I ran over to a store, grabbed a couple items, staged a piece. And when they saw all the items, they're like, that is not going back. That has to stay in our home. So they ended up keeping all of it. So
that's nice.
Wow, man, what a process. That is really awesome to hear you talk about just the extent and detail that you provide your customers, from helping them on the front end with developing and designing the piece all the way to staging their piece in their own home. That's excellent. Is there any particular piece when it comes to the designing process that you guys enjoy more than others? I mean, do you really enjoy that like blank slate where the sky's the limit? And I guess that would even be more so if you're doing a piece that you are going to create and sell, not so much a custom piece.
Personally, I like doing piece when my client says that this is what I am thinking and you can create. And she just lets me create. And then when I create it and I send her the progress pictures and she's like, wow, this is unbelievable. And that's something, you know, it really makes me happy that she trusted the, you know, piece with me and whatever I created, you know, understanding her vision. She loves that. So that's really something I really enjoy creating.
Yeah, and you know what? There's a lot of furniture artists that are a little shy and scared to work with customers and actually do custom work because it does take a little bit of the creative side out of it when you are working with a customer that has an idea of exactly what they want. There's not, you know, you can't just do what you want all the time. I've been lucky enough where my last few customers have given me, you know, kind of like full range on like, just do it. I trust you, do whatever you want, pick whatever liners you have. And, you know, it's worked out really well. And in the beginning, I was very scared to do, you know, custom work because of that, because I just wanted to make sure my customer was going to be happy with the end result. And till this day, even though I do a lot of customs now, till this day, I still get a little anxious when I send my customer pictures. And it's not until I get the reply back saying that they love it, I'm like, okay, now I'm at ease. Now I can post it on my Instagram and I can feel confident about it. But I have to say that I haven't really had a customer that hated their piece and I had to do it all over again and things like that. I think when you have a really great consultation with your customer and you explain to them exactly what the process is going to be, and you keep them in you're staying in contact with them on a daily basis, or just on a weekly basis on what's going on and any kind of changes that, you know, you might have to do to the piece or whatnot. Just the open line of communication with your customer, I think that helps a lot with a customer, working with customs. And, you know, at the end of the day, if you did everything correctly, your customer will be satisfied with the end product. And I feel a lot more confident about doing customs lately because of that, just setting kind of everything out in the clear.
Yeah, I agree with Yari, like she said, that the consultations helps a lot. When you meet your client in person and they hear your ideas, they meet you, it changed a lot of things. It eases out. And then, you know, staying in touch, sending them the progress pictures. Luckily, I haven't repainted anything that they haven't liked it. Like Yari said, they have always loved it. I think they find you through your social media. They go through the reviews, they go through your feed, they see what work kind of work you do, whether they align with that sort of work, and then they reach out to you. So they are coming with the mindset, you know, she can design a piece to my liking.
I would say some of the most rewarding projects I've worked on is for people that have purchased one of our, you know, a project from us that we just created on our own. And then they've reached out to us and said, we have this item, or I'm searching for this item. And once we find it, would you be able to refinish it for us? So it's been nice to have kind of repeat clients where they trust us with their own pieces. Just the feeling of, you know, them being so happy when you turn the completed piece over and stuff. It's just, I mean, it's nice to complete pieces on your own, but when you're actually doing somebody else's, piece that personally means something to them, or it may have, might be an heirloom, or whether it, or whether they just bought it, it's the same thing, I suppose. But sometimes the pieces have a little bit more meaning. So when they trust you with transforming their piece, and they can, you know, their vision is, I guess you see their vision and make the piece for them, that it's just rewarding.
There's probably no greater compliment to have a do commission work for a customer and for them to be a returning customer, right? I mean, to be able to you know, for them to be so satisfied with what you've done to come back and ask for another piece, that's just excellent.
Yeah, it's so gratifying. Yeah,
it's very rewarding. Yeah. You feel really excited when you get a call like that.
Yeah, and sometimes I've got clients, like they have come and they have sent me my own picture and say, can you, you know, copy this on our piece?
Yes.
And then lately I started, I don't know, I have always been a huge fan of epiterokis. So I have started picking these epiterokis and, upcycling them with hairpin legs. And they have been sort of such a hit that I have clients all over United States, you know. They have just contacted me for that particular piece. And I have been just copying and copying and copying myself in different colors and just using those hairpin legs. And yesterday, my client picked up another piece. I haven't posted on my social media yet, but I've been just, you know, recreating my own stuff, and I feel so, so happy about it.
Yeah. And I have to say, my husband loved one of Joe's pieces like that, the yellow one. He wants to take over my craft room just so he can have one of your pieces.
Yeah, I remember Yari messaged me, and she's like, because that piece was published in the magazine. So Yari was like, my husband loved this piece. And Yari, that is the piece that I did first. That was my first upcycle. And since then, there has been no turning back. I've just created so many pieces like that.
That's great. That's great.
Well, when you guys think about the structural design of a piece, do you feel obligated to maintain that style in your designs? Or do you feel like, you know, again, it's like an empty canvas, you can go in any direction?
I feel like it's an empty canvas.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, take, for example, like an MCM piece, Yari, like what you did, would you ever take that into maybe a farmhouse look with an MCM? I mean, it's a little, you know, odd, I guess, on the front end as you think about it. But I mean, would you take it and sort of redesign it, even though it's an MCM, but do something different with it that's maybe not the norm?
I mean, I don't see why not. I think I have to put a lot more thought into that if I were to do it, just because, you know, I just want it to come out right, you know, and I don't want to screw that up. But I mean, especially with mid-century modern pieces, there's just, you know, endless possibilities, because lately we're seeing a lot of more muted tones on modern pieces, very light peaches and very like dusty, really beautiful colors. But then you could also go really bold, like I did with that yellow, or you can do a cobalt blue and it just fits right into the style of the piece. So there's really just endless possibilities with it.
Yeah, I agree. Modern, I think mid-century modern can carry a lot of looks. Like I have been sanding down my pieces and doing a whitewash, and they have been doing really well. And for that matter, I think I can also just, you know, change it into a modern industrial kind of a look, put some transfer and put some paint and show some wood. And like recently, like day before yesterday, I posted those cabinets. Those are, I got them for free, and they were from a very old barn house. They were from a pantry. So I took those they didn't have shelves and things like that. So of course I bought and cut and put in new shelves. But the thing is, they didn't have a base. So what I did is I bought those metal wheels and I attached them. So they became more like an industrial farmhouse.
Mm-hmm.
You combine several elements into that. That's great.
Yeah, if there is a scope, then why not? Because I mean, as a layman, when you are seeing a piece of furniture, you just, you know, just click, it just clicks to you that, you know, it's going to fit the style in my house and the buyer will buy it. But the designing is at our end, how we want to show them.
Yeah. And it's really just about exploring the design process too, I would imagine, because as we've always said, you know, you can always repaint it. You can always take the hardware off. You can always redo it. And mm-hmm. when you know that going in, it probably allows your creative freedom to flourish a little more broadly.
Yeah. And I think keeping a balance with your commissions and your project, you can still let the creativity out of you. And I mean, not the commissions don't kill your creativity 100%. There are a majority of your clients who let you create. I mean, if they want a white color, you can still go on detailing on the side of the drawers, which they love. So they are not stopping you there. It's just the way you are working with your clients. So you can still, you know, let your creativity out on your projects.
Yeah, there's a way that you can just have your own interpretation of what your customer wants in your own way. Yeah, and I do have to say that yellow piece was a piece that I did in between customs because I just felt like I needed some kind of creative outlet on my own. I wanted to do something for myself. and I needed to get something done, you know, just kind of funky and out of the funk sometimes that you get into when you're just kind of like kind of robotish, just working on customs over and over and over. I think it is very important to have your own piece to work on.
It is very important to unleash your creativity out. That's why I push myself sometimes out working at odd hours just because I have my eyes and my vision set on some piece and I want to get that out. So I'm working at night just, you know, just to get those colors out there. And sometimes it's like last month, I flew out almost like 15 to 20 pieces a month. I don't know how did I do that. I myself don't know how did I do that. But I feel that I'm so burnt with commissions that I wanted to do something creative.
It's so interesting how this month's theme, Summer Sunsets, played into the furniture design for all three of you, for all three winners, and that they were not commissioned pieces. So it's hearing you talk about creativity and being able to just really sort of look outside the box and be exploratory with your design processes. It's neat that this month was reflective of that. And you guys all three did really beautiful pieces. And so it was neat to be able to talk about those three pieces and to have this panel discussion. We really loved this discussion topic of furniture refinishing is more than just painting. It's designing furniture. And I can only speak for myself, but I would venture to say our listeners enjoyed your discussion as well. A special thank you to all three of you for joining us today. Stay safe and stay well.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you so much for, I need to thank you guys because you give us the opportunity to keep on creating and get out of comfort zone and appreciating our work here. So really, thank you so much.
Oh, that's so great to hear. We appreciate that. The entire Zebra crew really enjoys promoting you guys and seeing just the incredible creative talents that flow from all of your work and on these Instagram and Facebook feeds. It's just phenomenal. And we look forward to the days ahead to continue to build a platform. And we just hope a lot more people not only jump into this particular art form, but also that people realize that they can shop for furniture outside of your typical furniture stores and they can get some pieces that will last a lifetime that are unique and have tremendous value to them. So thanks for saying that, Joe. If you have a refinishing tip that you would like to share, send me an email at lane@enjoyzebra.com. Put refinishing tip in the subject line and describe the tip in the email. Today's refinishing tip comes from Meg with Megdell Design.
Hi, everyone. This is Meg with Megdell Design, and the tip I have is how I price my furniture pieces. I get asked this question a lot, and I know it's a hot issue or hot topic when it comes to starting your refinishing business, so hopefully it helps someone who's getting started. So the way I do this is by keeping a log of my projects, and I know that this can sound daunting, but as a first-time mom, I feel like my memory has gone completely out the window, so this really helps me keep track of my pieces, how much time I spend, and how much I should charge for them. So the way I go about doing this is I have a whiteboard in my garage, and I will use the timer on my phone to start and stop and log the entire project from start to finish. So that includes my prep work, my painting, finishing the piece, and even staging it. So once I have this number, I'll add it all together, and that's my total time. I'll multiply it by what I charge for an hourly rate. So this can be very different depending on where you live. Again, this is what works for me. You might find something that's a little bit better suited for you, and that's totally okay. So once I have my labor costs, then what I'll do is I will add in my material costs. So that includes the price of the piece that I paid for initially, the paint, hardware, any other details that I add into the piece. So this will give me my total price. So this is what I will either list the piece for and or what I will charge my customer. So the caveat to this is, of course, with refinishing, there's always hiccups here and there. So what you might need to charge based on your total time might not always be realistic. So you might have to make adjustments up or down based on what is feasible to sell in your area, and or having an open conversation with your customer to say what you may see as an extra cost that might be associated once you start hitting into those bumps. That's a really big tip. That's kind of a side piece. But having that conversation ahead of time before surprising your customer with an added charge is always a good idea. But anyhow, once I have this total price, what I will do is I'll take this project and I'll just pop it into a really simple spreadsheet. And when I say simple, I mean it. I am not tech savvy. So it's an Excel spreadsheet where I will just put if it's a dresser, how much time it took me, my total materials, and the total cost. That way, for instance, if 6 months down the road, I'm asked to do a similar project, I can easily look back and say, oh yeah, that one took me about 6 hours and a total cost of X, Y, or Z. That way I can quote with confidence knowing I'm taking into consideration the total time I'm spending on a project versus trying to recall how much time I thought it took. It is pretty eye-opening, I think, especially when you start doing this, to see how much time all the little things add up to be. And I think it's a great way, especially when you're starting, to really value yourself with how much time and effort you're truly putting in. I'll also say that as you become more efficient, that's not to say that you should charge less, because I think that, again, your time is of value, and that's important, all the experience that you've gained. So that may be fluid, and in the long run, you might end up charging more as you become more experienced for your hourly rate to help balance out all of the things you've learned. So I hope that that tip is helpful. I know that pricing is a loaded topic and, again, can change really frequently depending on the project, where you live. But if you have any questions, feel free to reach out. But I hope it is a tip that's helpful for you in your business and in the future.
Pricing really is a huge topic for many refinishers, and we are glad Meg shared insight with us and gave us some of her personal guidance. Thanks so much, Meg. The Zebra Review monthly contest is underway for September, and the theme is study desks. Entries are open until September 30th, 2020. Many of you have been creating the ideal home workstation for your kids' school spaces by refinishing study desks, or maybe you just refinished a desk because your spouse is working from home. Either way, we are eager to see them and recognize the top three. Use the hashtag #TheZebraReview and you'll have your piece before our judging panel, as they will choose three winners. We will be featuring a guest judge each month with our Zebra Review judges. The guest will be the first place winner of a previous month's contest. This month's guest is Jen with Perfectly Imperfect Furniture Restoration. She was our first place winner for July. Great prizes await the winners from Paint Couture Paint, D. Lawless Hardware, Surf Prep Sanding, Gary's Big Bowls, who we just featured, and Zebra Paintbrushes. All pieces refinished from January 1st, 2020 to September 30th, 2020 are eligible for entry. Zebra Collective Quarterly Contest for Fall is open for entries as well. There are so many ways to create your furniture pieces by reflecting the inspiration of fall with vibrant colors to dark, crisp colors of fall leaves, cheery and whimsical themes to the natural tones of the season. Make sure you tag your pieces with the hashtag Zebra Collective. We are so grateful to our prize sponsors, who range from Weatherwash, Surf Prep Sanding, The Chippy Barn, Redesign with Prima, and our Zebra Paintbrushes. All pieces that were refinished from June 1st, 2020 through October 24th, 2020 may be entered. Hey, just a quick reminder for all of you, even though it's September, we are already getting excited about the 2020 Zebra Golden Brush Awards. We had a tremendous event last year that led to recognizing many of you for your talents in multiple categories. So stay tuned as we unfold the details in the coming weeks ahead. We would love for many more people to discover the Zebra Before and After podcast. Please subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast directory. It really does make a huge difference in the rankings. And thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Zebra Blogs Before and After Furniture Refinishing podcast. Today's episode is also featured on thezebrablog.com, along with contact information for today's guest. Your comments and suggestions for future episodes are always welcome, and we encourage you to share those by clicking on the podcast slide in our header at thezebrablog.com. That's zebra with an I, blog.com. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and happy refinishing.